Now that we got that old man dead. Amen. We got to bury him. It's burial. In my ministry, I've done close to 150 funerals. And each funeral is always unique in and of itself. And I have seen a lot of grief displayed in a lot of different ways. I have seen folks stand at the casket of a loved one and scream at them, "What am I going to do now without you?" And tears just pouring down their face. All kinds of questions, all kinds of accusations. "You've left me when I need you the most." But one thing is always the same. Doesn't matter how many times I've seen it. Doesn't matter how many times I've done a funeral. Doesn't matter how many times I've seen grief and the number of times I've seen it displayed in different ways. Those in the casket don't answer back. Dead folks don't make demands. Dead folks don't have their own will anymore. Dead folks don't argue. Dead folks don't fuss and fight. Dead folks don't talk back. And dead folks don't have any answers. And when you come to Jesus, you have to come as a dead folk. A dead man, a dead woman, a dead boy, and a dead girl. If you come to Jesus, you have to come dead. Because dead folks don't make demands. They don't have their own will. They don't argue. They don't fuss and fight. They don't do all those things that dead folks don't do. And so I thought, you know, in the final analysis, and I have heard this all my life from folks in other faiths and other denominations and other religious bodies. Everyone keeps telling me, "Why, you don't have to be baptized to be saved." Wait a minute here. Then you ain't dead. Because I know that dead folks don't have the answers. Dead folks don't make demands. Dead folks don't fuss and fight. Dead folks don't have their own will. Dead folks don't do that. And that's all I could think of when assigned this topic about burial. Is our burial in baptism, in the final analysis, our baptism has such a deep meaning and purpose, sometimes it blows my mind, and yet there are folks who keep telling me, "Why, you don't have to do that. Baptism's not necessary for your salvation. Well, look at me, I just believed, and I raised my hands toward heaven, and I said the sinner's prayer. And by the way, I'm still looking for that thing." You are too, aren't you? Because I can't find it anywhere in the Bible. Everybody keeps telling me to pray it. They say, "All you got to do is pray the sinner's prayer and you'll have it." I can't find it. And I've been studying the Bible a lot of years and I still can't find it. And I'm looking for it. Because I don't want to leave anything undone with regards to my salvation. Amen? Do you want to leave anything undone with regards to your salvation? I don't. And so if somebody tells me, says, "You know what? All you got to do is pray the sinner's prayer." I'm like, "Ooh, man, I got to find that." And I haven't found it yet. So I think somewhere along the line, they've lost their way. They're dead men. At least they say they're dead. "Well, I'm saved." Well, if you're saved, you come to Christ as a dead man, and yet here you're making demands, and here you have your own will, you have your own plan, you have your... Wait a minute. You're not dead at all, are you? You're alive and well. See, only live folks don't want to be buried. I'm live. I don't want to be buried right now. Do you? I don't want anybody throwing me in a hole 6 feet under and start throwing dirt on top of me. I'll start tamping it down, work my way to the top. Folks who tell me that, they haven't died to self. Folks who tell me that, they still want to do their own will instead of God's will. That's what it really boils down to. Because in Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and verse 11, baptism is too important. It is too important a step. In other words, baptism is our burial. And it is a, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it is a co-participation with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that. I want co-participation with my Lord and Savior. And so when I read this, it says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Dylan talked about death. Dying to self. Old man's crucified. He's gone. He's not making any more demands. He's not fussing and fighting. He's not arguing. He doesn't have his own will. He doesn't have anything that the dead man has. Because dead men don't do that. Dead folks don't do that. Baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, like as Christ was raised up from the dead means this is, we're doing this together. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In other words, we are buried. Then verse 11, it says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Here we go, we're dead. But he says in verse 11, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And somewhere in between there is a burial. We're dead to self, we're alive to God through Jesus Christ. How does that happen? Our baptism. Regardless of what other folks say. Regardless of how sincere they are in their belief, they're sincerely wrong. They keep saying, oh no, it's not necessary, you don't have to do this. You know what's interesting? When I read Acts 2:38, and I'll tell you what, that's the defining moment for all time. It's the answer to everything. No matter who you are, I can go to Acts 2:38 and I can say, look, Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, Matthew 16. It says, upon this rock I'll build my church. And he wasn't talking about Peter, he was talking about the confession Peter made. And he says, I'm going to give to you the keys of the kingdom. And that didn't mean that Peter was the first pope, you know, that he abided in Rome at the Vatican, you know, back in first century AD, which didn't even exist. He didn't wear a mitre, the fish head. Come on. That's not what Jesus gave him authority to do. Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom. What do keys do? They open things, don't they? You got a key to your house, I'll bet. And you lock your door when you left, and you want you back into the, if you want back into your house, what do? You pull that key out and open your door. I would say you have a key to your car, but I bet you none of us have a key to our car anymore. We had fobs. But guess what? Without it, you don't get in your car, do you? If it runs low on batteries, you're in a mess of world of hurt. Okay? You're hurting. Keys. Keys to the kingdom. And it's interesting that on the day of Pentecost, Peter opened the door. He said, here are the keys to the kingdom. Those folks on the day of Pentecost, they didn't stand around. You know, it's interesting. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter and the other apostles had just laid on them the gospel of Jesus Christ, told them from start to finish what needed to be done, what it was all about, how that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, how that He is the Son of David, but David's still in his grave, but Jesus Christ isn't. They taught the resurrection, and man, they hammered it home. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And those 3,000, according to Scripture, did what? They were all baptized. It says, they that gladly received His word were baptized. There were added unto them 3,000 that day. In other words, it says that those that gladly received His word. In other words, there were 3,000 dead folks. Because they didn't argue, they didn't fuss and fight, they didn't have their own will, they didn't do all the things that dead folks don't do. You talk to some of our denominational friends, our religious friends, What do they do when we talk about baptism? They fuss, they fight, they argue, they have their own will. They refuse to be buried in the water for the remission of their sins to touch the blood of Jesus. They refuse. They say that's not necessary. It's an outward sign of an inward cleansing. Listen here. There's no inward cleansing yet until you've been baptized. It's no outward sign of nothing. Baptism is in obedience to God's will. Dead men do it. Live men don't. All the other passages I have on baptism, look at this. Again, it amazes me. Those that gladly received the word, the glad reception of the word was they were baptized, Acts 2:41. Now let's look at some of the other things that talk about burial. In Galatians 3:27, it says that we have been baptized into Christ. Those of us who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So baptism, we are baptized into Christ. We put on Christ. Without it, we are not in Christ, nor have we put on Christ. Without it. So without the burial, we're not in Christ and we haven't put on Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, Paul gives the Colossian brethren this interesting discussion on baptism, but he starts out by talking about spiritual circumcision. Because he talks about circumcision made without hands. And we understand the imagery of the Old Testament of circumcision. In other words, to be a child of Israel, you had to be circumcised. When you were born, on the eighth day, you were circumcised. Paul the Apostle talked about his qualifications in the flesh. He says, you know, I'm circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, you know, touching the law of Pharisees, so on and so forth. He starts talking about all these things. He says, if I was going to brag, I could brag with the best of them. Circumcision brings one into covenant relationship with God. So Paul goes on to say in Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 about our spiritual circumcision. He says, what is spiritual circumcision? Because in verse 12, it ends with a colon. And then in verse 13, it picks up, buried with him in baptism. There's your spiritual circumcision. So without it, you're not spiritually circumcised. Without it, you're not in covenant relationship with God. Without it, you're lost. Without that burial. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, I once quoted this to a woman. I won't tell you what religious faith she was. She didn't even know it was in the Bible. She said, I got to go talk to my pastor about that. And I said, he won't want to read it either. 1 Peter 3:21, when talking about Noah, he says, the like figure whereunto even now, baptism doth also now save us. It freaked her out. Acts chapter 22, verse 16, when Paul the Apostle is allowed to speak his defense in front of others, he's recounting his conversion. And he says, Ananias said to me, arise. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, the Ethiopian treasurer, we call him the old Ethiopian eunuch, the only time that he went on his way rejoicing was after Philip had baptized him. It says he went on his way rejoicing. In Acts chapter 16, verses 33 and 34, where the Philippian jailer, some folks, they quote those verses and they say, see, it's right there. You know, it says all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. Well, you know what? You got to start somewhere. But before the evening was over, guess what? That Philippian jailer and his family, it says, he took him the same hour of the night, washed his stripes, and was baptized. How about that, huh? He was buried. Why? Because he died to self. And he wanted to bury that man. That's what burial's all about. You bury the dead. Those that fuss and fight and squalor and holler about all the theological, you know, those folks on the day of Pentecost, they didn't say, you know, well, Peter, wait a minute here. You know, the theological argument of this was, I'm like, blah, blah. Come on, man. In other words, what did those 3,000 do? Man, they were baptized. They got buried because they died to self. That's what burial's all about. That's what baptism's all about. It's a death to self. It's burying the old man. He's buried, but he comes up to walk in newness of life.